Well, having very briefly considered together the Scripture's teaching on secret worship, we turn to the practice of secret worship. How does the Bible, how does the Lord Jesus Himself, through His Word, instruct us to do this? And we'll consider this under two particular headings. First, knowing what to do. What are we actually supposed to do? And secondly, knowing yourself. Knowing yourself. But first, what is it we are to do in the biblical practice of secret worship? Well, in general, we are to commune with God through meditation. Communion with God through meditation. We come into His secret presence alone to be with Him. That is the focus of secret worship. Just consider the two examples we used. Isaac, alone in the field, meditating. And then David, so many of his psalms written in and through his personal relationship with the Lord. And lastly, what we saw this teaching is based on for us, and that is the direction of our Lord Jesus. How He emphasized to come alone into the presence of the Father and pray. That is, in general, what the aim of communion, or rather of what secret worship is, communion through meditation. But what in particular? What things has He given us to do to help that? Well, three. First, prayer. Prayer. We find that in the examples given of David, of Isaac, and with the direction of the Lord Jesus, but we find it also in the teaching of the Apostle Paul in several places. But 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, simply one, to pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean to simply pray all the time. When you go see the doctor, you might be very content and happy if the doctor is praying for the Lord's insight from time to time as He's examining you. But you want Him to listen to you when you tell Him what is wrong and what the symptoms and problems are. You would want Him to be praying perhaps from time to time as He performs the surgery, but you would also want Him to pay attention to your body and what you need to have done. When the Apostle Paul enjoins us to pray without ceasing, he is telling us to pray regularly. And one of the most blessed ways to do that is coming alone, apart, in secret, to unburden yourself before the Lord. To tell Him all your wants, all your desires, all your fears. To pray to Him. To bless His name, to praise Him. To confess how marvelous He is. That is not only obedient and fitting worship to Him, but for the child of God, it is certainly an encouragement to their own heart, as the greatness of God is magnified in their eyes, and themselves, and especially their problems and weaknesses, are reduced to their proper size before His great grandeur. But not only prayer, the second one is Scripture reading. Scripture reading. We find this quite strikingly throughout the Word of God, an emphasis on the Word and God's revelation of Himself. But one brief example we've already considered together, the Psalms. The Psalms. David's meditations from the Lord form inspired and infallible revelation. God may give us impressions in prayer. God may give us convictions in prayer in times of secret worship. But God no longer gives inspired and infallible revelation as He did. The fullness of that has come in our Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament that bears witness to Him. So what better thing and what types of things would we meditate on in prayer as we are alone with God than what He has spoken to us? We should treasure His words. Treasure the letters and the truths He has given us. Read the Scriptures. But what if you are not able to read them? Boys and girls, some of you can't even read very well yet. How are you supposed to read the scriptures? Well, you know what you can do, even if you cannot read them? Remember the devotions and the meditations your parents told you. Think about your Sunday school lessons. Think about the stories and the parts of scripture your grandparents have read to you. When you are alone in your room at night, or maybe even you share a bunk bed, or maybe you even share a bed with your brother or your sister, you can still be alone. Close your eyes and think about the Lord Jesus. Tell the Lord what is on your mind and heart. Ask Him to come and reveal Himself to you according to His Word, even if you can't read. Thinking about all that you have been taught by your Sunday school teachers and the preaching of the Word and by your mother and father and your grandparents. Many of us as well, even as adults, might not be strong readers. We find it hard to read. Maybe at times in the middle of the night you can't just turn on the reading light. But think of the histories of God's Word. Think of the work of Christ in the Gospels. Think of the Apostle Paul's marvelous testimony to how Christ has fulfilled the Scriptures. And think of how John, not only in his Gospels but in his letters, highlights the love of God, the forgiveness, and the blood of Christ. These are all ways we can meditate on the things of God and on Scripture, even if we're not able to read them as we should. But not only prayer, Scripture reading, and meditation on the Word of God, but lastly, singing. And really, this might seem odd, but singing is really just another way of reading the Bible. It's one of the blessed things about singing the Psalms. As we gather as a church to worship and around your dinner tables, but even at night, how many of you boys and girls, even if you couldn't read, couldn't sing one of the psalters your mom and dad taught you, or maybe your teacher taught you at school? All of a sudden, the Word of God can be a comfort, a strength, and part of your communion with God as you pray to Him and He answers you through His Word as you sing. And even if you're in bed and you don't sing with your mouth, you sing with your mind and with your heart. If we were to take the time, we could see different examples through Scripture of how secret worship for God's people has included prayer, Scripture reading, and singing. But these things all are very particular examples of what we must do. Sometimes all three, sometimes one. All different types of emphases. We'll see that a bit further. But these three things in particular, as we seek generally to commune with God through meditation. But allow me to make some practical pastoral suggestions to you when it comes to your personal time of worship, in you seeking to do these particular things of prayer, Scripture, reading, and singing. The first is be flexible. Be flexible. Be flexible. Many of us are all in different situations. Boys and girls, I addressed you that you can worship in private and even hear the Word of God, even if you can't read, through your meditation and your singing. But for those of you who are empty nesters, whose children have moved out and maybe even have grandchildren, reading the children's Bible around the table with the kids is quite a bit different than what you can do now, as you're alone, just the two of you. You can read something perhaps more advanced, something more personal, dealing with adult issues and marriage in your family worship together. You can pray for each other and intercede for each other and the challenges you face in a way you couldn't when the kids were around the table. Family worship can change, or I should say personal worship can change. Personal worship can change as you're alone. The things you pray for will be different. Some of you have the tremendous opportunity to even pray for great-grandchildren, interceding for children that you couldn't have even imagined of when you were first married. But those of you who are in your teen years, you keep a different schedule than your mom or dad, than the younger children in the household perhaps. You're going to be thinking about different concerns. Maybe for you, the prayer isn't going to be when you're lying on your bed when you go to bed at 7:30 or 8 o'clock. It'll be when you go to bed at 9:30, 10 o'clock, or maybe even later. And you're going to be thinking about the challenges and different things at school. And maybe it won't be the versions of Psalm 23 that you learned when you were little to stave off fear of the dark and monsters under the bed. But you'll be searching the book of Ephesians for wisdom about marriage and relationships and the kind of young man or young woman the Lord would have you marry. All different types of ways and approaches for you to commune with God through meditation, prayer, and scripture reading, and singing. But don't only be flexible, but further be purposeful. Have the goal of coming into God's special presence in your mind and heart, that you would fellowship with Him and get to know Him, time just with Him. Cherish your time with Him as He whom you love more than anyone and anything else in this world. Make it purposeful. Know why you're doing, know what you're doing. So often in our culture, we can be sensitive to the need for this on a personal level. Mom and dad need to go on a date night while someone needs to take care of the kids, and you need to make purposeful time alone together. We're quite familiar with that. So much more with God, who has made each of us and made each of us different, who longs for communion with us, not only as a congregation and not only as families, but as individuals as well. Be flexible, be purposeful, and be consistent. Be consistent. In whatever, and we'll consider this a bit further, in whatever will best fit and best work and best benefit you at your stage of life, in your calling, do that. And do that consistently. Don't change it all the time and every time. There's been tremendous studies in what's called the power of habit. Doing it over and over and over again so it becomes a routine, becomes a discipline. Scripture is full of it. I will seek thee early. I'll be up with the night watches. All different types of examples of regularly seeking the Lord first. Be flexible, be purposeful, be consistent, and lastly, continue when you fail. Continue when you fail. One of the biggest failures children of God experience is in their own personal worship with the Lord. All too often we set out well, don't we? We make, as it were, a resolution. We will seek the Lord's face and worship in private. We'll read scripture, we'll read a good book, we'll pray, we'll sing, we'll do these things because we haven't done them the way we should have before, and we're good for a day or two or a week. We need to start over. We fail. We don't get into the discipline of the habit. Don't quit starting. Don't quit starting. Keep it up. Seek the Lord's face for help in the very thing that which you are struggling. Use it as a reason and encouragement to seek Him. Get good books. Get good recommendations. Trust children of God, you know, that can give you counsel to develop your relationship with the Lord. We will look and accept in our culture counseling for how to have a better relationship with our spouse, how to have a better relationship with our children, how to have a better relationship with our God, with our boss. Why would we not use the means of grace God has so graciously given us to be guided into a better relationship with our Lord? And in better communion with Him. But continue when you fail not only if you struggle to start and stay disciplined, but continue when you fail, if you are the person of a heartless routine. Some people do not struggle as much as others in forming new habits. They can just do it and they'll develop the habit. Every time, this day, always this, and I'll read this and do this. Regular as clockwork. But a failure can come there too, because their heart is not in it. It is just a turning of the crank. And the solution is not to stop the discipline and the habit. The solution rather is to repent of having the formal spirit and to realize once again what the great purpose is: communion with God through meditation. That you are meeting with the blessed divine God, all three persons of the Trinity. You are communing with His marvelous being through Christ and the work of His Son. Rather than, I read this, I sang that, and I'll check my last box and move on. In private worship, we are dealing with persons, the triune glorious God, not just activities and particulars, not just tasks. But moving on then, having advised you to be flexible, purposeful, consistent, and to continue when you fail, regardless of how it is you may fail, perform secret worship, knowing what to do, but also knowing yourself. Firstly, what aids your communion through meditation? I would recommend primarily to you is the Scriptures itself. As hard as they can be to study, the Lord Jesus likened searching them to mining. Focus your energy on the Scriptures. That is where the blessing is. That is where the power is. Please do not misunderstand me. There is a role for good books. There is a role for good sermons. If you could come to my library in my office, you would see all these different books written by all these different dead people about understanding God and theology and the Bible and philosophy. And as helpful as those are in instruction and in training and teaching, it is the Word of God that is what is the power. Scripture calls the Word of God a hammer and the Word of God a fire, not the systematic theology of Louis Burkhoff or the Institutes of John Calvin. Though they are blessed in the fact that they exposit the Scripture, but the power is here. The Scriptures are alive and sharper than any two-edged sword. The writing of any man, no matter how wise or mighty in the Scriptures, is not living the way the Word of God is. So get to know your Bible. And get to know your Bible one book at a time as you have need. You're struggling with the fact God is beyond your comprehension and you don't understand what God is doing in your life. Things seem unfair. Study the book of Job. The Reformation Heritage Study Bible has great notes and a great outline to help you and guide you in your reading. We hope to partake of the Lord's Supper on the coming Sabbath. And the question becomes, are you right with God? How can you be right with God? There is one beautiful book for you to read. That is the book of Galatians. Many other books treat the same subject, but the book of Galatians deals with it directly, honestly, forcefully. Study that book. Prayerfully examine that book and show the Lord to open your own heart to you as you ask Him to open your eyes to the Scriptures and illumine your heart. You can go on through all the different examples and struggles sinners have. And the Word of God is more than sufficient. It will be a tremendous blessing to aid you, the primary source of your communion through meditation and prayer. But there is a place for books. books of sermons, books of theology, books of biography, all different kinds of books. And I should say, in addition to books, there are websites, there are e-books. There are all different kinds of things that were not available even 30 years ago. It's amazing. You can have a whole college library, it would seem, all accessible through your phone. Commentators, devotionals, sermons. That is perhaps a third recommendation to aid you in your communion through meditation as you are private and alone. Bibles, the Word of God, good books and sermons. Make use of sermon audio. It's a website, sermonaudio.com. Now, there are many things on there that are not as good as others. But you are familiar, are you not, congregation, with the preachers of our denomination? With the preachers of the Free Reformed denomination? You know many of the authors that Reformation Heritage Books publishes? You know many of the authors that are sold there? You know many conservative Presbyterian ministers who are sound and faithful preachers of the Word of God? Listen to them. When you go on walks, when you're by yourself, listen to them when you're at home, alone, in private. They can be a tremendous blessing. If you find reading hard, even reading the scriptures hard, listen. Listen to good sermons. But not only sermon audio, I recommend to you as well another website, simply entitled tapesfromscotland.org. tapesfromscotland.org. It's a little listing and grouping of audio files from sound Scottish Presbyterian ministers. If you find a blessing in the ministry of men like Lloyd-Jones and his books, in the listening to men and preachers like Sinclair Ferguson and their ministry, give a consideration of tapesfromscotland.org. You will find similar things there. And lastly, in connection with some further aids to your meditation, consider the Bible on tape, the Bible on CD, the Bible on audio files. When you're alone and in private, listen to the Word of God. If you can't read it, listen to it. I knew a mechanic in Tasmania who seemed barely literate. He had a hard time reading the scriptures. So I simply gave him the Bible on CD. And all of a sudden we could talk about the teachings of God's Word as he heard it. Because he couldn't read it well. It was a tremendous aid to his communion and meditation and worship with the Lord. Know yourself what aids your communion through meditation, but also know yourself knowing what detracts from your communion through meditation. What draws you away from the Lord? What interrupts your time of worship? And what distracts one congregation would not distract another. There are people with the powers of meditation. They can be alone in their closet and you could bang on the door. They could blast loud music. Children could cry and it wouldn't shake their focus. Then there are people who, when they are alone, they would be distracted by any little thing. Know what noises distract you, so you know what the best way is to be alone, alone with the Lord. Further, know what you may have to take care of if you would be distracted from private worship. Maybe you have to turn off your mobile phone. Maybe you have to turn off the computer. Maybe you have to wash the dishes because you will be bothered by it and nagged by it in the back of your mind, and the devil will use it, thinking, I need to wash the dishes rather than commune with the Lord. Who knows what it may be? Whatever there would be that would distract you, set it aside. Ask the Lord for help and discernment and set it aside. But thirdly, not only know yourself and what aids your communion through meditation, and secondly, what detracts from your communion through meditation, but remember what God has done to help. Remember what God has given us. Firstly, He has given us His Sabbath day. The Sabbath day is a blessing for personal meditation, for secret worship, for communion with God. So many of us are so busy. We rise early. We work through the day. We come home late. We have busyness with the kids at school, at sports, at church. There's so much going on. When can we ever find a time where things stop? The Sabbath. And for some, even the Sabbath is busy. You have to take grandmother or grandfather to this place. You have these arrangements to make. You have to get this to this person. And even those things, which would be lawful, even on the Sabbath perhaps, if we're not careful, can threaten the peace of the Sabbath. But the Sabbath is a tremendous gift of God for personal worship. Isaiah 58 verse 13 says this of the Sabbath day, and it's very fitting for our personal worship, our secret worship, as well as our corporate public worship and our family worship. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasures, nor speaking thine own words. To put it to you this way, congregation, in light of our sermon series, the Sabbath and its focus on God and God alone and setting aside all the other distractions helps us keep the first commandment as we seek to honor him in obeying the second. The first commandment was to have no other gods before him. The second commandment in right worship makes sure we always have God before us personally, in secret worship. And the Sabbath allows us to do that in a blessed way we can't any other days. We have more time on the Sabbath to read personally. Whether perhaps to your children, or perhaps if your children aren't with you, on your own. You can start to make a dent in the harder reading. You can start to puzzle through the book of Revelation with another book of good sermons next to it. You can start to read a book of theology you wanted to read in college or high school but didn't have the time for, but now you can. You have time. A tremendous, precious commodity that our Lord has given us in the blessing of the Sabbath day. And we find this not only in Isaiah 58, verse 13, but we find our Lord Jesus saying this himself. In Mark chapter 2, 27 and 28, he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. What better thing to do than to commune with your Lord privately and personally in secret on the day he has given us to do it? Make use of the Sabbath. He's given the Sabbath to be our help, even in secret personal worship. Secondly, what God has done to help is he has given us not only the Sabbath, but he has given us this glorious command and this great example. Like the Lord Jesus said, when you are alone, be alone with him. Delight to be alone with him. Don't give yourself that as an option. It's very tempting to tell yourself, oh, I should do this, I should do that. I'll get to that later. And the answer is not you should, you must. You must. It's a command, it's a necessity. You may not disobey your Lord. Just as one example, I had a chance to meet a missionary man who used to say he and his wife had a saying, no Bible, no breakfast. Now, I know for many of you in university and your teenagers, you might not have breakfast anyway, but you know the idea. The necessary thing that you must do must only come after you have done that which is even more necessary, to commune with your Lord personally. Remember, this is a command, not an option. And lastly, though there is so much more that could be said about this in relationship to the Scripture and its necessity for the life and practice of a child of God, and that is, the Lord has given us the Spirit of Christ. He has given us the Spirit of Christ, and that above all. It is through Christ and His Spirit we worship. It is through Christ and His Spirit we have communion and meditation. It is through Christ and His Spirit we have this Word. It is through Christ and His Spirit we may have the saving relationship with God. It is through Christ and His Spirit that our secret worship, our public worship, our family worship is found acceptable with Him, though it's riddled with flaws. And remember that when we go to worship God, we go to fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the will of the Father, by His Spirit. That should be a tremendous encouragement. To remember that our sins will not be counted against us as we come into His presence in worship. In fact, we can even confess them to Him. And He will once again quiet our consciences with Himself, as His work testifies to Him. We come to Him, delight in Him and what He's done for us, and rejoice in His love over us, though we are unworthy. We can be once again reminded He will take care and provide for us everything we need. He has given us His Spirit, the Spirit of our Lord Jesus. And that is the greatest thing He has done to help us in this blessed thing that He commands us to do, to secretly worship with Him and commune with Him through meditation. This is also a great aid when it comes to the coming Lord's Supper as well. You would seek to know if you should partake of the Lord's Supper? Seek Him secretly alone in worship. Ask Him. Read His Word. He will not hide the answer from you. He is a God that reveals Himself in creation. He is a God that has revealed Himself to His Word. He is the God that illumines the minds and hearts of sinners. He is not a God that hides. He is not a God that does not want to be bothered. He is a God that reveals Himself to a sinful world gone lost. He is the one that goes after them. He is the one knocking on the door of the hearts of His people. And He is the one that commands every man, woman, boy, and girl to seek Him. The problem is not that He does not wish to be found. The problem is that by nature we do not wish to find Him and be found of Him, lest our wicked deeds be exposed. That's why it's so beautiful that this Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ, that greatest encouragement for us to engage in the secret worship, is also one of the reasons if you have never engaged in secret worship. In fact, if you are not a believer at all, the work of the Holy Spirit is your great encouragement to do this as well too. In Luke chapter 11, verse 13, we read, "If then, being evil, knowing how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" You say, "I don't have communion with God. I'm an enemy of God. I'm a stranger to God. I've never personally, privately, individually, secretly gone to commune with Him." It's fine. You say, "I don't have the Spirit." That's okay. Ask. The Lord Jesus is no liar. The Father will give the Spirit to those who ask. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, by His Spirit, fear not, but come boldly into His presence, not only as we are able to do as a congregation, not only as we must do as families, but also as each of us must do, you and I, each of us, individually, alone, secretly. It is one of the most blessed ways to prepare for the Lord's Supper. It is one of the most blessed ways to live. It is one of the most blessed things to do and experience, to have personal, private, secret worship with the God of the universe through our Lord Jesus Christ. Congregation, may we heed that blessed command as we seek to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Our Lord and our God, we thank Thee for Thy great wisdom and the witness of the Scriptures, and how we not only as a congregation, but as individuals are to worship. We pray, Lord, Thou would deliver us from so many errors today, whether it is a wrong understanding of worship, whether it is a wrong understanding of Thee, whether it is the sinfulness of our own excuse-making heart. Lord, we pray that by the power of the Spirit of our Lord Jesus, we would turn to Thee in private worship. From the youngest of us, Lord, to the oldest of us, make us true, healthy, secret worshipers. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.